fight with this mic again. Good to be here. Hope you're excited be here.
Amen.
If you'd like, you could turn to Numbers 35. And before that, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 20, if you'd like to hold that, if you have your Bible this morning. Another Sunday, another Lord's Day. It just seems like one Sunday runs into the next, doesn't it? I think I'm saying that right. One Sunday runs into the next. I got to check myself because I've been accused of saying things that don't make sense. Kind of reminds me of that lady who went into Winn-Dixie. She wanted to buy a turkey. And, you know, turkeys come in various sizes, you know. And on the package even, it has how much the turkey weighs, I guess, for cooking purposes, to tell you how long to cook it per pound. Well, anyway, she was looking for a turkey, and they only had small ones left. I guess all the bigger ones had been bought up. And she sees this stock boy standing over there, and she asks him, she says, "Son," he says, "Yes, ma'am, can I help you?" She says, "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" He said, "No, ma'am, they're all dead." I like to say those silly jokes because it embarrasses my family. Joshua 20, verses 1 through 9, we're going to be speaking on some great things in Scripture today, I think will help those who are in Christ, and maybe you have not chosen to obey Christ. I hope that it brings you to a greater light, a greater understanding of Christ for your life and for our eternity with Him. In Joshua 20, verses 1 through 9, it says, "And Jehovah spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Assign you the cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by Moses, that the manslayer that killeth any person unwittingly and unawares may flee there. And they shall be unto you for a refuge from the avenger of blood. And he shall flee unto one of those cities, and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city, and declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. And they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver up the manslayer into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unaware, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the high priest. That shall be in those days. Then shall the manslayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they set apart Kadesh in Galilee, in the hill country of Naphtali, and Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, in Kiriath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. And beyond the Jordan at Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness of the plain of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the appointed cities for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person unwittingly might flee there and not die at the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation." Now, I've had people tell me before that they didn't think the Old Testament was important today. Well, I disagree with that very strongly. And I'm going to give you a few scriptures to give strength to what I'm telling you. How can this passage that we've just read help us today? How does it apply to our lives today? But first, I want to give you some scriptures, just a couple of them, to back up what I say about the Old Testament. John 5, 45 through 47, it says, "Think not that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? And in Romans 15, verse 4, we read, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And this is true of what we just read in Joshua. And it's also true of the passage we'll get to in a little while in Numbers 35. In the Old Testament, if innocent blood was shed, the Scriptures taught that it polluted the land, and that blood must be avenged. In Genesis 9:6, it says, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God he created man. The Scripture says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you murdered someone, you were promptly executed. But what if you killed someone accidentally? What if you and I were out chopping wood together and the head of my axe flew off and struck you in the head and it killed you? And your relative, your first living male kinsman, was your avenger. And he came after me to kill me to avenge your blood. What could I do? I could go to one of these six cities of refuge. And as I came to the gate of that city and stood there, I would plead before the elders of that city, and they were to hear my case. And they were obligated to take me into that city of refuge. And they were to give me clothing and food, provisions, everything I need, and protection. And they were not allowed to surrender me over to the avenger of blood until I had been tried. If it was found that I was guilty, then I was given over to them to die. If it was found that it was an accident, I had to remain there until the high priest died and until my trial was over. Well, how does that relate to us today? God provided for the needs of his people. He always has. He always will. He still does. Accidental bloodshed had a refuge. And intentional loss of life had an avenger. God provides a city of refuge for you and I today in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:18, the latter part of that verse, it says, we may have strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. He looked ahead of time and provided for us when he, our high priest, Jesus Christ, died to redeem us. That should be a big amen. So this morning, I'd like for us to draw some comparisons between the cities of refuge of the Old Testament and our city of refuge today, the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, as the cities of refuge were the only means of escape, it's the only way you could escape, so also is Christ our only means of escape today. If you killed someone, regardless whether it was an accident or premeditated murder, the nearest male relative came after you, and he had the right to kill you. He was allowed to slay you as long as you were outside of that city of refuge. Numbers 35, verses 22 through 38, it says, but if a man thrusts someone suddenly without enmity, or hurled upon him anything without lying in wait, or with any stone whereby a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him so that he died. And he was not his enemy, neither sought his harm. Then the congregation shall judge between the smiter and the avenger of blood according to these ordinances. And the congregation shall deliver the manslayer out of the hand of the avenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to his city of refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall dwell therein until the death of the high priest. Lost my spot. Who was anointed with the holy oil? But if the manslayer shall at any time go beyond the border of his city of refuge, whither he fled, and the avenger of blood find him without the border of his city of refuge, and the avenger of blood slay the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer shall return into the land of his possession. Pay attention. I know you can do it. It's going to be some things to understand here, but it is so great for us to understand what God uses in Scripture for you and I. If you go outside the city of refuge, you were fair game for the avenger of blood. And he was allowed to kill you anywhere, anytime. In Psalms 46, verse 1, we read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. God is our refuge. He is our strength in this world. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 3, we read, God, my rock, in him will I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge. Proverbs 14, 26 says, and the fear of Jehovah is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Isaiah 4, 6, and there shall be a pavilion for a shade in the daytime from the heat, and for a refuge and for a protection from the storm and from rain. Jeremiah 16, 19, and O Jehovah, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge in the day of affliction. As the six cities of refuge were appointed for the Israelites, Christ is our refuge. As we are the new Israelites, heir according to promise, as the scripture says. What has been provided in these six cities of refuge for the Israelites is provided for you and I in Christ. And as these six cities of refuge were the only means of escape, Christ is our only means of escape today. It is the only way we are going to have eternal life with God is through Jesus Christ. Listen to me. If you are not in Christ, you are outside, you are in danger. Even if you are close to the city limits of refuge, as the scripture says, and you know these all very well, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not even one. As all today are offenders, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, as there is none righteous, no, not even one, the only means of escape is the city of refuge, and that city is Christ. You know, Satan is described as a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober. Be watchful. It says, your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. He's described as the father of lies, as a murderer from the beginning, the accuser of the brethren. Satan, your accuser, desires to kill you. This is serious business. And if you are outside the city limit of refuge, you're going to be devoured by Satan. The only means of escape from the avenger is Christ. Listen to John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 10, 7 through 10 says, Jesus therefore said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And in no other name is there salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Can you imagine being guilty of killing someone and running for that city of refuge? And you get there and you see your accuser on your heels, and not going into the city of refuge because you like the feeling of freedom outside of that city. You know, I've seen people presented with the alternatives of heaven or hell. And the dust of their accusers can be seen in the distance. And they are fair game for Satan. And as they look at the Lord Jesus Christ, our city of refuge today, they refuse to go in because they enjoy what they think is freedom outside of Christ, when the only true liberty is in Christ Jesus, our refuge. He is the sole means of escape. So today I would like to exhort you, if you are not in Christ, to come to Christ, if you have not done so already. Christ is your only hope. The next comparison I'd like to make is that as the six cities of refuge were easily accessible to everyone, Christ is easily accessible to all of us today. Those cities of refuge were provided for any Israelite or alien who had accidentally killed someone. Listen to Joshua 20, verse 9 again. It says, these were appointed cities for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. Perhaps right here prefiguring that the Jews would be saved, but also the Gentiles would be too. Regardless of your self-worth, regardless of your nationality or your sinfulness, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In fact, the Bible says, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. Rich, poor, young, old, good, bad, ugly, sinners, harlots, homosexuals, liars, murderers, all have fled to the city of refuge, Jesus Christ, and have been given asylum and have been given freedom and a change. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, "Or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." The city of refuge, which is in Christ Jesus, is easily accessible for everyone. It is accessible to you no matter what you think of yourself. It is accessible to you no matter what you have done in this life. Christ's blood is powerful. Plenty powerful to forgive anything. It is a refuge that is in our midst. You know, if you read these accounts, you go home and read these accounts of Joshua and Numbers, you're going to find that all these six cities were centrally located so that the Israelites were not far from one of these cities. And some writers say that there were signposts that pointed to the cities, just as today we have signs that point to hospitals and airports and things like that. Anyone that wanted to go to the city of refuge could do so. No problems. The Bible is surely pointing the way that saving redemption comes through Jesus Christ only. Christ is nigh to each one of us, and we can go to Christ. Hebrews 6:18, again, the latter part of that verse says, "We may have strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us." The doors and the gates of those cities were always open. Always open. The door to Jesus Christ is always open. The scripture says in Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us." Thirdly, this morning, as the cities of refuge afforded complete asylum for the accused, so does Jesus Christ. Once you made it into the city of refuge, you were guaranteed, as we just read a little while ago, protection and provision. It did not matter how much money the accuser offered the elders of that city, they were not allowed to turn you over to the avenger. By law, they were not able to do that. They had to give you clothing, protection, and they could not surrender you over unless it was premeditated murder. There's a story in the Old Testament of Joab and Abner. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. Joab went to meet Abner at Hebron, which was one of the cities of refuge. And as long as Abner stayed in the city, Joab could not kill him, even though he hated him exceedingly. So he went to the gate of the city, and Joab called out to him, "Step outside here for a minute. I have a secret I want to tell you." And he took hold of his beard as if to tell him a secret. And incidentally, in those days, you did not touch a man's beard unless you were good friends with him. And he smote him there in the body, and Abner died. 2 Samuel 3:27 says, "And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the midst of the gate to speak with him privately, and smote him there in the body, so that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother." Joab was not looked upon as a murderer because he killed him outside the city of refuge. If he would have stayed in the city, he would have never been killed. As the cities of refuge afforded complete protection, so also does Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." You are in Christ. You are in the city of refuge as a Christian. Don't step out of Christ. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Now. When is now? Now is now. Right now is now. We were in the now. We're always in the now. We were in the now a little while ago, but that now is gone. But look, there's some more now coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming. But we're always still in the now. We're always in the now. Don't you want to be and stay in the now? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No accuser can say anything to those who are in Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? I boast that fact. Who can be against us? No one. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There are two facts I want to give you concerning the city of refuge that cannot be missed. The first one is, you had better be in that city of refuge. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things have become new. Second thing is, you had better stay in the city of refuge. Don't step out of those city limits. People are leaving the church like pigeons leaving a coop. Stay in the city. Stay in Christ Jesus. You know, this morning, if we could use some human characteristics to describe the city of refuge, we might say this: you cannot be snatched out of my city. You are protected by the power of the city. Nothing ruins your immunity in this city. Not relatives, not force, not priests, not anyone. You are seated in the refuge, high tower of the city. You are established and obedient in that city. We could say we have a whole new life in that city, and that we are kept by the strength of that city, that nothing could happen to you except for one thing. You could step out of the city of refuge on your own free will. And just as surely as you can step out of that city of refuge, you can step out of Jesus Christ today. There is no once saved, always saved. The Bible does not teach that. That's a lie, straight out of the pits of hell. God never violates the free will of an individual. My life is hidden with God in Christ. No one can snatch me out of his hand. And I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come can separate me from the love which is in Christ Jesus. And I am kept by the power of God through faith. And I am seated in high places with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so are you. As Paul said in Ephesians. But I can step out of that city of refuge. The only thing that can separate me from his love is my own free will. But as surely as these cities of refuge afforded complete protection, Jesus, our city of refuge, affords complete asylum for us. If we do as Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Lastly, this morning, as these cities of refuge reflected God's mercy, even more so does Christ. I don't know if you know a lot about typology, but in typology, the antitype is always greater than the type. Priests of the Old Testament, Christ is greater today. Sacrifices in the Old Testament, Christ is the ultimate sacrifice today. Those are types. The ark, Noah's ark, was a type of the church today. It's types. You could flee to the city of refuge if you accidentally killed a man. Our refuge in Jesus Christ today is for the most guilty. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Our refuge is for all. No matter how guilty I am, no matter what I have done, no matter what I think of myself, the city of refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ, is for you. Those in the city of refuge stayed there until the high priest died. Today, our high priest, Jesus Christ, we may stay in our city forever, because he ever lives, never more to die. Hebrews 7:25 says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Real quickly again, where is our sole means of escape? In Christ. What refuge is accessible to all? Salvation in Christ. Who gives complete protection for the accused? Christ. Just as the cities of refuge reflected God's mercy, even more so does Christ. His mercy extends to the most guilty because of his great grace upon you and I. So, please, with the most love I can bring out of my heart, don't fiddle around outside the city. Please don't flirt with inclinations towards salvation. Please don't play around about the decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't stand and listen to the galloping hoofbeats of your accuser behind you and not step into the city of refuge. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins as you step into Christ, the city of refuge, and take his complete protection. We who have fled to refuge might lay hold of the hope that is set before us. In closing this morning, I'd like for us to look at the beauty of God's wisdom. The six cities of refuge in the Old Testament that God provided have been filled for all men in Christ Jesus, for he is all in all. These six cities, the names have meaning to them, and I want to give them to you this morning in closing. Kadesh means righteousness. Acts 7:25, Stephen says, the prophets announced the coming of the righteous one, Jesus Christ. Shechem means shoulder. Isaiah 9:6, the prophecy is, for to us a child is born, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Hebron means fellowship. 1 John 1:3, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Bezer means fortress. Psalms 18:20, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Ramoth means heights. Ephesians 2 and Psalms 18:33, God has raised us up in Jesus Christ and set my feet on high places. Golan means joy. Romans 14:17 and Galatians 5:22, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy is one, is a beautiful fruit from the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. The God of righteousness took upon his shoulder to provide a refuge that we may be united in fellowship with him through Jesus. He is a mighty fortress, taking us to new heights through the joy he provides through his Holy Spirit. God bless you.